We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Green Solution has 18 locations in Colorado and is the place to get marijuana, edibles, concentrates, whatever you need, you name it. Download their app today or go to mygreensolution.com and use that code DNVR20 for 20% off your entire purchase. Let's jump into the show.
Broncos country is sitting in the south stands, drinking the curds from Mile High, the best part of the weekend. Hugging a perfect stranger as they become a friend, having a good time when the orange and blue WIN.
Welcome in to the DNVR Broncos podcast presented by Strava Craft Coffee. Make sure you use that code DNVR20. It's the same code, different place, same deal. DNVR20 gets you 20% off your purchase of Strava Craft Coffee today. It's good to be back, boys. Missed you.
Yeah, what's that voice?
Who's
that voice I hear?
Oh, stop it.
Hey, I would have been here yesterday. That was on you guys. Not my fault. Some interesting stuff. I listened to the podcast yesterday a little bit, and I just wanted to share one thing that was my take on the Broncos changing up the combine setup, most specifically Vic Fangio not bringing his assistant coaches. First of all, my take: if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Back-to-back great drafts for the Broncos. Why would you change something?
Because maybe Vic Fangio thinks it could be even better.
How would diminishing your resources make things better?
By not letting secrets out.
That is honestly absolutely silly, in my opinion.
But I think that's a big part of it. Lips sink ships.
Not really. This isn't a ship, and we aren't in the military. And so nothing is getting sunk.
But we know how the militaristic thought pervades in the National Football League. So I think that actually has a bigger impact on this than anything, to be honest with you. Because why would you not, for example, want your position coach in the formal meeting that you have with a player asking questions? Why would you not want your coaches having more boots on the ground in Indianapolis, going to the lobby over at the Crown Plaza? Talking to guys, just getting a few minutes here and there. It's another connection point. I mean, if it were my team, I'd have my coaches down at the Senior Bowl. Again, a connection point with these guys.
Exactly.
Are you surprised, though?
Yes.
You are surprised?
Yes.
Okay, because what have we talked about John Elway? Every single time we talk about
small
John.
Small
circle. John, yep, small circle. And over this past year, it's clear Vic Fangio's bought into that. And this is just making the circle even smaller.
Well, I think it's interesting because Vic Fangio, was he always in that circle of trust in every organization he's been in? And now that he's at the top, he's kind of closing off the circle a little bit?
Yep.
I just don't understand it. Here's an example. Brett Rypien. Last year, Brett Rypien, is walking around the lobby. He runs into Rich Gangarello. They have an informal meeting. Rich Gangarello falls in love with him. And now, he's on the Broncos, and some people within the organization are calling him the Drew Lock Whisperer because for some reason, when if Drew isn't if connecting with something the way the coaches are saying, Brett just explains it to him in a different way, and now he gets it. Like, because that relationship started because Rich Gangarello talked to him at the combine and was like, this is the guy that I thought he was. We want him.
That actually, interestingly enough, sounds like what Mike Shula was in his 1 year as a player back in 1987 with Tampa Bay. And then he went straight on the coaching staff.
Well, it's interesting, though, is the name that you mentioned isn't here anymore. Rich Gangarello isn't here anymore. So Vic probably, you know, just taking that, could say, well, yeah, I mean, I didn't need his opinion anyway, because his opinion led him to get fired. So I don't need anyone else below me giving this. It's just me and John. That's all I need. I'm not saying it's right, Ryan. When we talked about this yesterday, we laid out why Vic is doing this. And in my opinion, it's that it's probably less productive for the coaches to be at the combine in terms of truly scouting the film, because as we detailed, it's a late night social place for the coaches at the combine, and Vic's not that type of guy, and he probably says, well, that's a waste for you guys to be out till, you know, wee hours of the night partying, when you know, you can go home at 10 p.m. in Denver and you'll be back in the office at 5 a.m. doing that. And then the other reason, the loose lips sink ships. But then the other side is, yeah, you are taking some resources away, talking to these guys, running into guys in the hallway, and then not being able to ask questions in the meeting. So there's definitely, you're losing something. Vic's just hoping that it gains more.
And the other thing here is the coaches enjoy going to the combine. It's fun for them. Also, not just from the hours of 8 p.m. to 3 a.m., but also they like being there and seeing the drills and getting an up-close look of these guys. It's just weird to me that, you know, you're going to bring some guys in on visits, maybe they'll get a touch point then, but there's a chance, you know, you're going to draft a guy who the offensive coordinator has never seen in person.
And the other thing is, you can say, oh, well, we can send him to the pro days. Well, you've got free agency going on during the pro days, so you're already kind of in two different directions. And another thing is, let's say you go to Wisconsin pro day. You want to talk to Jonathan Taylor. Well, everyone else wants to talk to Jonathan Taylor too. There's no guarantee that you can get that 5, 6, 7 minutes. You got a better chance of doing that at the combine when everyone's just kind of milling around. And you said something with the coaches, it's a chance to kind of get together. For also, let's say you're a position coach or an offensive or defensive assistant, it's a chance to make contacts. It's basically an NFL coaching convention. So it can help your career individually as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned the coaches getting together just as a staff. Hmm. You know, one thing I heard about the way Kyle Shanahan does things in San Francisco is almost every Friday after work, they're all getting together. They're going, you know, to a local restaurant, having a few beers, bonding.
Yes.
There's no better coaching bonding time than at the combine. This is where these guys go and hang out together. And from what I've heard, Vic Fangio doesn't do that kind of stuff of getting the whole staff together, you know, hanging out, getting buddy-buddy. And again, the combine is an opportunity to do that. So I just think it's weird. I honestly do believe there's a little bit of penny pinching going on here. I think that plays a little bit of a role, but maybe not as much as the ones you're talking about. And I don't know. Again, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I don't know why you would change the formula after it's been working the last 2 years.
But what's interesting on the budget thing is that every other department is unaffected.
What do you mean?
In terms of the compliment they're sending as far as the medical staff, the scouting and personnel staff, even the team digital media staff, nothing else is affected by this. The only group that's being cut back is the coaches.
I do have to ask, though, if it's not broke,
don't fix it.
Don't fix it. Don't you also want to see the Broncos be a little more on the innovation side? Not necessarily with this, but just with things. And the Broncos really haven't been on the innovative side with anything since Peyton left. Couldn't this be a way of potentially trying to do that? I mean, the way it was described to me many, many times, this is the way of the future, not just for the Broncos, but the NFL, and Vic Fangio is leading that charge. Now, maybe it doesn't happen. Maybe Vic and John say, oh, God, that was a big mistake not to have that. But from that perspective, do you not like that they're doing something different?
this is not, this isn't like on the forefront of technology or anything like that. It's just different for different sake. I don't think there's any, I just don't see what the possible benefit of this is, other than, you know, maybe Ryan Konigsberg doesn't learn that the staff is in love with Joe Flacco. Who cares? It's not as if the leaks last year were like the Broncos are locked in on Noah Fant. They're gonna do whatever it takes to draft him or anything like that. Like, honestly, the most pertinent information we got to draft strategy was from Vic Fangio speaking publicly about how he didn't love Devin Bush or Devin White.
Some of that comes out the league meetings next month too.
Yeah, it's not as if like after the combine it was like massive leak. Broncos want to trade back from 10 so they can draft Noah Fant in the 20s.
I'm just not surprised by this one bit, because this is death by inches in Vic Fangio's mind. I'm not saying that's what it is, but in Vic Fangio's mind, hey, if these guys can get one extra hour of film study, or, I mean, he probably views it as they're going to be twice or three times as productive, not just getting one more hour in, because they're not out late. They're not having to walk around in the convention center waste all that time. They get in the building, and they sit there for 12 hours in Denver watching film. There's no distractions. And the difference with Kyle Shanahan and Vic Fangio is huge. I mean, Kyle Shanahan, we see it every year out at the Combine. Kyle Shanahan is out late socializing. He's with John Lynch sharing a bottle of wine at a table right next to us before then going around the rest of the bar talking to other assistant coaches, his coaches, other coaches. Vic Fangio, I doubt he's doing that. He's probably at dinner right after meetings end. Maybe there's a martini there.
He doesn't drink.
And then he's up in his room.
I think he's more likely to be over at Steak and Shake, where they don't have alcohol.
At 7 p.m., not Steak and Shake at 2 a.m.
No, but although Steak and Shake at 2 a.m. is really interesting, I've learned as much at the Steak and Shake at 2 a.m. as over at the Prime at 2 a.m.
We saw a guy get killed there, so.
Literally.
It's funny, but I'm serious.
But, yeah, the interesting thing also, you say they're going to be back to watch film. You can watch film any other week.
Any other time,
but how many chances do you get to actually say, "Hey, I'm Coach Mason. It's good to meet you, J.K. Dobbins. You got a few minutes for an informal chat?" Because of course you're limited to now. I think it's 45 interviews, not even 60, in the formal process. But there's no limit on how many times you can talk to guys in the lobby and around town and that sort of thing. And I can think back to example when Bobby Turner was here, and he would make a point of trying to talk to every running back who was at the combine, just to kind of get to know them, get their phone number, and then kind of, you know, again, have that in-person connection. And, you know, we're all analytic-minded. We get that. But the in-person connection does still matter, especially when these coaches are trying to ascertain which players are the most coachable for them.
Last thing I'll say on this is, didn't you just make a huge point to put together this extremely veteran coaching staff? And you can't even trust these guys? You can't trust Mike Munchak and Pat Shurmur and Curtis Modkins? And you can't trust these guys out on the town? Most of these guys probably wouldn't even be out there.
Isn't that what Vic Fangio is saying, though? Because how many guys are new? Two? So Vic Fangio saw these guys last year, knows what they're about outside of Shurmur and Shula. So that's what this move would say, wouldn't it? Is that I did not like what you did last year. I think you can be more productive. I think you can be more quiet if I keep you in Denver, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. I would hope that someone on that coaching staff takes a little bit of initiative here and like tries to get the group together while the teacher's out of town.
Oh, yeah, this sounds like a plot to just throw the overturn the empire.
Well, have you ever been in a classroom where the teacher doesn't show up?
Substitute teacher.
Even if, like, the teacher's 10 minutes late, it's chaos in there. You think these guys are just going to be, I mean, maybe you trust them enough to go into the building and grind film for 12 hours, but there's no one around to hold them accountable.
You saying Vic should tap into the security cameras?
At this point, I wouldn't be surprised.
Or you have the IT people monitor exactly what's going on, how the computers are being used.
He's
going
to set up
one of
those.
Are you watching film or are you, you know,
or
goofing
what,
off? Are you?
He's going to.
I only want to say.
What exactly are you watching over there?
Are you doing
a lot of tape?
Are you doing Sporkle quizzes all day? I mean, come on.
Are you watching film or are you watching films?
Catching up on your Netflix queue, I see.
I don't get it. I think it's overthinking is what it comes down to me.
And that's fair. I think there's no question they are missing out on benefits by not being there.
Imagine that feel. I feel like that would be a really crappy feeling. The whole NFL world is there and you're stuck at home.
So what do you think about what the Rams are doing and Sean McVay? He's just going there to fulfill media obligations, then he's leaving.
I like that. That seems more like
he's not even going to be talking to the players at the combine.
I mean, apparently he doesn't think that's necessary.
So how is going more extreme than Vic better than Vic?
Well, because it seems like there's an actual plan there. Like,
it's just have nothing to do with the combine.
Right. Honestly, I mean, personally, I think they should have just let him out of it, and he could have done a media availability at home.
Yeah, but you don't have national media there. Part of it now, it's become such a national event from a print media, broadcast media, digital media perspective that the expectation is that every team has some form of representation, preferably both the head coach and the GM. But in the case of the Patriots, for example, they'll do what they want because they're Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
My sister has this thing set up at her house where it's a camera and she can see what their dog is doing in the house, and then she can even talk to the dog if she needs to. I feel like that's what Vic's going to set up in the Broncos facility. Like,
so the coaches can be in on the interviews?
Someone's going to pull out their phone and open Instagram, and Vic's going to be like, hey, what are you doing? Watch film. All right, one more thing here that we need to discuss is Darius Slay. Comes out yesterday that the Lions are open to finding a trade partner for him. Prices vary a little bit, but what it sounds like to me is you're going to have to give a second or third rounder, and I think the distinction between those two things is massive in this situation.
Or both.
Or both.
If it's both, no thank you.
And you're gonna have to sign him up for about $15 million a year, right?
Yep, long-term deal.
And he turns 30 next New Year's Day.
Man, that seems crazy to me. It only feels like he's been on the scene for 2 years.
Yep, he became a Pro Bowler in 2017, was one in 2018, and was one this past year. So, I mean, really, he's been in the limelight for 3 years.
So, here's where I draw the line. Plain and simple. Second-round pick. If I have to include a second-round pick, I'm out. If
what?
I can do two-thirds, I'm in. Obviously one third I'm in, a third and, you know, a depth guy I'm in. But second round pick is just too high for me. Because of his age. If it wasn't for him touching 30, I would consider it, but I wouldn't like that. And I'll add this though. If they were to do it, I'm not going to crush them for it. It's just personally, that's where I would draw the line if I were the GM. In the end, though, if you get a good player, the means in which you obtained them slowly but surely start to become less relevant.
It does, but at the same time, you'll get Byron Jones, for example, and he's going to be on the market. And he does not turn 30 until 2022. During the season. So he's a little bit younger, and you can get him probably for about $15 million a year. He's going to be in that same price point without having to sacrifice a draft pick.
But this is the only situation in which you can guarantee you get a guy.
Right. Well,
because if you try to go to free agency and you miss on Byron Jones, okay, now you're to the draft. Well,
To James Bradbury, you're the next guy on the list.
But what if you don't get any of those guys?
Well, so let's just start there. Who's better, Darius Slay or Byron Jones?
Slay right now.
Who's better a year from now in all likelihood?
Who's better for the next 4 years? Let's just say you give them both 4 years, $60 million.
Probably Jones.
And would you rather have Darius Slay than Chris Harris Jr.?
And that's another.
If you're going to give a contract to somebody who is 30 or will be 30 in the next 12 months, look, I'd rather give it to the guy that's been in the building for the last 9 years rather than the guy who's just coming in here for the first time.
I actually think that inside they might feel differently.
I think they probably do feel differently. They're a little sick of Chris's
antics.
I think it's time for a fresh start for everyone.
I think it really is too, and it's crazy to say that because in most scenarios you would say, you've already got the guy. You don't have to trade anything for him. You already know that if you just pay a lot, you're going to be able to keep him. But I just get the feeling that it's not a harmonious relationship. It's a little bit of like I imagine John Elway grinds his teeth when he sees Chris Harris out there pulling the scare tactics of talking about the Chiefs.
And Chris Harris is going on a tour right now, not just to make that known and make it known that he wants to be loved by another team, but he's making it known that he did not like what he was put into last year. And it kind of seemed like he wanted that role that he was in last year, and then after the fact, when it didn't look so good, he's saying that that's not the role he wants. And I can't imagine that John likes the Chiefs stuff. John's a Denver Bronco through and through, not just as a general manager, but of course as the player. And I'm sure Vic Fangio does not like it when Chris just keeps pretty much putting Vic on blast, right? By saying that he was put in a bad situation from the start.
He keeps on playing like both sides of it too, though. He's like, yeah, I wanted to be there, but I didn't want to be there. And Vic didn't want me there, but then I had to be there. But I'm mad that I had to play there. It's like, dude, like you can't play all different sides of the coin.
That's what a few. And so all of this confusion kind of just to me boils down to maybe a fresh start, as hard as it is, and Chris will be welcomed back here to be honored in the Ring of Fame. It seems like that's where we're going right now. So when I think of these guys, in my head, I do put Darius Slay and Byron Jones ahead of Chris Harris Jr. for really the emotional reasons.
I'd put Byron Jones ahead of Chris Harris Jr. I wouldn't put Darius Slay ahead. That's kind of where I stand at this point. That being said, that's where I put them. I think the Broncos, like you guys said, feel differently on this. Chris Harris Jr. has a better chance of being the modern-day Neil Smith going from one AFC West side of the rivalry to the other.
Don't say it, Mace.
And being a Kansas City Chief. Look, how do you think in Kansas City they felt when Neil Smith left for Denver? People were angry. But eventually they loved him again. And if Chris Harris Jr. goes to the Chiefs, people are going to be angry here for a few years. But eventually when it's time for him to join the Ring of Fame, get his name on the facade at Empower Field at Mile High, hopefully by that point they'll be giving out orange jackets to Ring of Famers. I don't know why they don't do that already. Like in Carolina, they give out these blue jackets and they're amazing.
I don't know if you guys heard, that was just John Elway calling. And he said, I'm sick of Chris Harris Jr., and once I bring in Darius Slay, no one's even going to remember who he is.
You sure it wasn't Vic calling saying, let me talk to Ryan right now?
You want to take a sleigh ride?
I wonder if he says that to girls at the bar.
I think he's married with a kid.
If we know anything about NFL players, that doesn't matter at all.
He may have used that in the past.
It's pretty good.
I picture being said like a butthead. Hey, baby, want to take a sleigh ride?
It's good. I would support that pickup line.
Yeah, you want to take a Stevens ride? Doesn't necessarily roll off the tongue as well.
Or is he a slayer?
Or if you just say like, yes, girl, slay.
So do you want him? Mace, do you want him?
Hey, last thing, I want to say this. If the Broncos trade a second round pick and maybe even a second and a third and sign him to a $15 million deal, GM Twitter is going to be like, oh, the Broncos didn't do well. And then in week one, he's going to lock down his side. He might have a pick and... Oh! First, he's going to like shut down everyone in training camp, and we're going to be like, holy crap, this guy is killing it. And then in week one, he's going to ball out, and at that point, everyone will have forgotten how the Broncos obtained Darius
but
Slay.
We won't know whether they would have gotten Byron Jones or not. And so some of us are going to be sitting there saying, well, they could have gotten Byron Jones in a few weeks, and they could have had that second-round pick and gotten Tyler Biadasz or Lloyd Cushenberry and had a starter on the interior offensive line and had a cornerback who was a couple of years younger.
I don't love the move. I wouldn't be advocating for the Broncos to trade Darius Slay for really whatever it is, but they have to get a cornerback. And they have to. And the thought of Byron Jones, losing out on Byron Jones, it's not like the Broncos have Peyton Manning, where they're this destination where they can still pay high money. But when John had Peyton, and he probably knew, okay, I'm going to go offer Aqib Talib lots of money, pay him well, and I'm going to get him. I have no question about that. The Broncos can go out to any free agent and say, we're going to pay you a lot of money. But just another team that finished 10 wins or better last year steps in, gives them the exact same deal, and the Broncos aren't certain that that's going to happen. So that's and they have to get a cornerback. They have to get a cornerback, whether it's Chris or someone else. So
and it's not coming in the draft because they're not getting Jeff Okuda.
Right.
And he's the only, you know, primetime shutdown, lockdown cornerback that you can plug and play immediately in this draft.
Right. And Ryan, like you said, this is the only way to guarantee yourself that you get a top-notch cornerback.
As you were saying that, I remembered something I heard late last week, though, about, you know, knowing you're going to get a guy. One guy who is rumored, or at least I was told, really wants to be in Denver is Prince Mukamara. How do you feel about that name?
Is he a number one corner? I think that's right. The big
Does
question.
He fulfill that?
I like him. I like him in the room.
So what if your room is this? A Mukamara, Bryce Callahan, Bosby, and Devontae Harris.
Rolling the dice. You're rolling the dice, in my opinion.
But if you're Vic Fangio,
maybe you think it's not rolling the dice because maybe you think that Bryce Callahan is going to be healthy. You know who and what Prince Amukamara is.
Right there.
Yeah, you've already rolled the dice.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe he's like, okay, well, I've seen how he's recovering. He's going to be good and ready to go.
He thought that last year, too, yeah. Just to be fair.
Right.
And what's the cost, we think, of Amukamara?
He's probably in the $7, $8 million a year range.
That fits the bill in terms of how much you're investing in the secondary, assuming Justin Simmons is here one way or the other.
Actually, one thing to watch will be how many Bears that played for Fangio come over to Denver. I mean, does he bring in Amukamara? Does he look at a Nick Kwiatkowski, the linebacker, that's been in there?
Danny
Trevathan.
Give me Danny.
If you want. I know he's your guy. The question there is health. It's not whether he's good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And do you even think about Akeem Hicks?
Good.
On the defensive line.
Is he a free agent too? I don't know. If he is, Vic's going to want him.
Yep. He will. I mean, Vic did wonders with him.
Yeah. That's a very...
He'd be a trade.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I
thought. Yeah, he's trade.
But it's interesting. I mean, we always, you know, just... based on our nature, we look at the top of the market, you know, the Byron Joneses, the Chris Joneses, all of these guys.
Or a cut, because there's only $3 million of dead money if the Bears cut him.
I can't imagine why they would. Yeah. Sometimes it is, you know, we miss out on some of the guys one tier below. And
the Mukamara, Bryce Callahan's of the world.
Yeah, although Bryce Callahan was in our first tier last year.
Yeah.
Bryce Callahan, Prince Mukamara, Devontae Bosby. I don't feel bad about that.
I feel bad if somebody gets hurt. Yeah, there's a lot of ifs there.
Yeah.
But if everyone stays healthy, then yeah, there's talent there, especially for what Vic can do.
And then maybe you do get a guy in any round but the third who can fit in that room as well.
Seriously, any round.
Well, it's a really interesting situation. If you trade for Darius Slay, I do like the fact that you just get to say, like, we got a guy.
Okay, right next week at the Combine, the Lions approach John Elway and say 2/3 and a 4-year, $60 million extension with 40 guaranteed.
2/3?
2/3, because it fits Ryan's criteria.
I'll counter with a third and a fourth.
They say this is the offer.
And I'll say, hey, you know what? This is more than you're going to get if you just lose him a year from now and you get a late third comp pick. Sorry.
Line's done.
He lost him.
Do you take it?
Yes. pretty easily.
I don't do 2-3s. I do
so 4-year extension, 60 minutes, 15 a year with 40 guaranteed. So essentially, it's 3 years guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in.
Mace, do you do that contract? If they say yeah, a third and a fourth.
How much of it is guaranteed?
40.
No.
So you would only want to guarantee 2 years of a big contract.
Correct. For a guy who's going to be 30 next year.
Fair.
You're getting older in the coaching staff, getting older on the field. Time to start signing guys up to deals like this. You did it for Kareem Jackson. Now you do it for Darius Slay. And you've got an extremely experienced secondary.
Extremely experienced, or some could say in a year old.
Yep. But Kareem Jackson was 30 this year, and he sure didn't look like he was slowing down.
At the best year of his career.
Why does Detroit want to let Darius Slay go, too? That's another thing. I mean, not that Detroit is exactly a fountain of competence right now, but why do they want to let Darius Slay go?
I don't know.
Speaking of Detroit, I had Detroit-style pizza recently. Overrated.
What really? Is Detroit-style pizza?
It's a square.
It's, you know, kind of... Have you ever had Papa Romano's pizza?
No.
Well, it comes in like a rectangular shape. You've got some sharp angles in the crust.
So it's kind of like deep dish, right? Kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
Is the bread fluffy?
I
know what you're talking about.
It's kind of a buttery crust, isn't it? But it's not quite like deep dish, but it's definitely like a pan pizza.
Yes. Yes.
You know how deep dish is like mostly the ingredients? Is this mostly crust?
There's a lot of bread, and that's what kind of killed it for me. A lot of people in this office are a big fan of the place I went, so I went, and it didn't live up to the hype to me. I've started to realize, other than Bojo's, because Bojo's comes with spoons made out of bread for honey, which is just incredible. I'm only a thin crust pizza guy.
Hmm.
The crust has to be special for thick crust to work.
You ever have St. Louis style pizza?
Oh my! How many different styles of pizza?
Well, no. If you
New
like
York
thin crust, that is the thinnest crust. It's basically like a cracker. That's how thin it is.
Is it crispy though, or is it?
It's
soggy?
Crispy.
It doesn't flop.
It's crispy. It is a crispy crust. The thing that they do in St. Louis is that they use a cheese blend that includes like some mozzarella, some provolone, some cheddar called Provol.
Yep.
That they only. I've never seen anywhere but St. Louis, and it's a thing that I think if you've never had it, it might be off-putting, but if you get used to it, it's amazing. Like when I go to St. Louis, I always go to Emo's Pizza. That's the local chain that serves St. Louis style pizza. I always go to the same location.
Does everyone have like
right
long black
Highway
hair
40.
That covers one of their eyes?
And I get the pizza, and I get their salad, which has some like salami, but also has they put the shredded provol, not provolone, but provol on top, and it's amazing.
One of our neighbors lived in St. Louis and had 10 of those Emo's pizzas shipped out to him.
Yes.
He gave us one. We had it. And what is it, Provol?
Provol.
It's like Cheese Whiz, pretty much. So the pizza's made up of Cheese Whiz.
Oh, it's not Cheese Whiz. It's not Cheese Whiz.
It looks like, and it kind of tastes like. Yeah, it's kind of pretty much Cheese Whiz.
It's not Cheese Whiz.
I will say.
It's not Cheese Whiz.
Went to Philly on Sunday, had myself a Philly cheesesteak, and on there, I have to get it with Cheese Whiz. And it is so freaking incredible.
You get Wit Whiz? They say that?
Wit I
whiz
go provolone whiz? And whiz.
Okay. What else do you get on it? Do you get onions, peppers?
Onions and hot peppers.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds so good. That sounds like the perfect sandwich.
Every time I go, I end up eating one and being like, I should have gotten two.
I think, but I also think you're a cheesesteak, I wouldn't say snob. I would say a connoisseur because you've had exposure to what true Philadelphia cheesesteaks are. And you mentioned off air, off this podcast, you don't really like any of the cheesesteaks in Denver.
I refuse. I might as well be from Philly. I will not eat a cheesesteak in Denver.
You've never had Denver Ted's?
No.
I've never even heard of it.
Okay, it's downtown.
No.
That's where I go. I order from there from time to time.
Do they do it the same way?
It's the closest thing in Denver I've found to Philly.
Do they have Wiz?
They do have Wiz, and I get it with Wiz, yes.
I want to say I'll give it a try, but I just don't want to. I like living in a world where I just only can have that when I go to Philly.
So I've never been to Philadelphia. What makes it so good there?
I don't know.
Is it everything, or is there one thing that
kind
of...
Well, I'll start with this. If you're out of market...
It starts with the bread.
Yeah. If the place serving the cheesesteak does not use an Amoroso roll, keep walking. Because that's where it starts, and those are from the Philadelphia area.
There's certain things that just can't... I think it starts with, like, the water, honestly. Colorado water is the best for drinking. And pretty much everything else, except for, like, making hoagie rolls and making bagels.
People will tell you the same thing about New York water.
That's what I mean.
When it comes to pizza dough.
Yeah.
Pizza and bagels.
There is a bagel place in Denver that used to import water from New York to try and recreate New York bagels. Now they claim they've made a machine that can turn Colorado water into New York water.
So they just make it grosser.
Yeah, they just pour some weird stuff in there. And
so that water that's clear and crisp and fresh from a Rocky Mountain stream is just not good enough? You've got to mess it up.
It just doesn't make the bagel the same way. I respect it. I respect the effort.
Yeah, I certainly do too. Man, I want that Philly cheesesteak you described.
At press time, I want a Philly cheesesteak, a thin crust pizza, and a bagel.
Okay, well, you've mentioned your favorite in Philly is Jim's.
Far enough.
And I, for me, the top level in Philly is Jim's, and I put Tony Luke's right there. What's the most overrated cheesesteak in Philly that you've had?
I mean, I don't waste my time with the overrated ones. Just straight up
But
Jim's.
You had them, you would know. No, you would know if wouldn't you know if they're overrated if you had them? Otherwise,
no, I just
you wouldn't
take
know.
The words of the locals.
Is Cheese Whiz a local thing as well?
Yeah, one time I was talking. Actually, there's a video of this. We asked Will Parks, "Do you get Cheese Whiz on your Philly cheesesteaks?" And I'll never forget this quote. He said, "Y'all keep saying Cheese Whiz. That's not what we call it." We're like, "What do you call it?" He goes, "Cheese."
That's hilarious. I thought he was going to say Whiz.
No, that's just standard cheese.
Oh, grilled cheese with that.
Oh, my God.
That'd be some ooey gooey stuff.
Well, you got, see, you go bold. Like, whenever I make grilled cheese, I get wild with it. Just start putting in all sorts of, like, you could just do, like, 12 different cheeses.
Did you have a roast pork while you were there? Roast pork sandwich.
No, I was only there for two meals. And okay. One was brunch.
Well, you can still have a cheesesteak for brunch, and you can have the roast pork for dinner.
If it was up to me, I just would have gone cheesesteak for both.
Maybe you even have eggs or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if a Kansas City barbecue restaurant wanted to start serving barbecue for breakfast, I think they'd make a killing.
I agree. I never really understood until I started traveling for covering the Broncos. I really never understood how important regional foods are.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Like, you have to go have these foods in these places. They're just not the same. You can't even get close anywhere else.
But there's a line you won't cross. If you're ever in Evansville, Indiana, you're not going to have a fried cow brain sandwich, correct?
If you put it that way. But if you just call it something nicer, like sweetbreads, which is a term for cow brains, I might try it.
And I won't have that.
That is deceiving.
It's all about salesmanship. You're trying to sell the product, move product.
Yep.
How do you move cow brains? You call them sweetbreads. Oh, that sounds nice.
How do you move beers? You call them Breck Brews. And then everyone knows they're amazing. And you have many of them, and it's a great situation. Was talking to someone out in Philly who was a big beer guy, and he was quite aware of the vanilla porter specifically. But whether it's a vanilla porter or strawberry sky or my newfound mix of strawberry sky and an IPA, whatever you do with Breckenridge Brew, it's going to work out for you. It's a little rhyme there for you.
And you know how you can move Breck Brews?
How?
With a snowplow.
If you have enough of them.
With rubber from the, or hopefully not enough of them, with rubber from the Denver Rubber Company. You can just push it. You can push whatever you want with the rubber you get from Denver Rubber Company because it's simply the best out there.
And you have that rubber inside the snowplow to protect the bottles.
Exactly.
And you just fill the snowplow with Breck Brews and deliver them to the people. Exactly. And now you're Santa.
Or If you need custom die-cut gaskets, molded rubber, custom contract manufacturing, or custom hoses, DRC is your place to go. So give them a call at 1-800-259-0010 for anything. Snow plows, custom gaskets, hoses, anything with rubber. Or go to drcfirst.com/DNVR. And when you talk to them, make sure to tell them that DNVR sent you.
Do you think they would make a hose that connects to a keg that you just line through your house that goes right to where you sit on the couch and you just Breck Bruce straight through the hose?
The question they would want to know is, how big do you want the hose to be? Like, are you sipping on the beer and it so it's a tiny little spout, or are you getting down?
Originally, I was thinking like a full size garden hose. No, but now I'm starting to come back a little bit to like a Camelback, where
so
I just
a little bigger than a straw.
Right, it's like in between the couch cushions. It just comes up through there, and I just grab it whenever I want. Press the little, you know, squeeze the little lips together and just suck some strawberry sky right through there.
So we're talking strawberry sky through this?
I mean, anything.
Strawberry sky is probably the best because this is going to follow you throughout the day, because this rubber hose is going to go anywhere you want it to go.
Oh, that's true. You just like get up from the couch, need to get the remote, just bring the hose with you.
Now, is that...
I think resolution would work for it too, though.
Oh, it certainly would.
Yes.
Could you guys get down for a shower beer in that case, when there's just a hose that you just funnel in the shower?
Yes, because my biggest problem with shower beers is how quickly they heat up.
Yeah. And this hose is nicely isolated.
Right. It goes right into a ice cold keg.
So you get the warm water pouring over you and the cold beer pouring into you?
Yes, that's what we're talking about.
I think that's the general idea of a shower beer, is to have the warm and cold thing going, but it only works for like the first 2 minutes of the shower.
And then it's a warm thing going into your body.
And here I was thinking that having to drink a beer in the shower was one of the signs that you're an alcoholic.
See, this is for people who are under the age of 25 or so. And I would make the case that everyone's an alcoholic at that age.
Yes, probably.
All right, let's get into the questions here. I'm sure we'll have plenty more talk of beers and food and maybe some Broncos too.
We'll have, really quick, something just rolled across the breaking news banner. And really quick, because we may dive into this later during this week, but... Drew Brees has announced that he will return for the 2020 season. If that news popped up on John Elway's phone, did he just get excited? Not should he, but did he just go...
Ooh. Do the Broncos play the Saints next year?
Yes, in Denver.
So no, he did not get excited. He pounded his fist on the table.
I think so too.
You don't think he allows himself to dream just for a moment?
Oh, I do. I think he does allow himself to
dream. Of getting a player that his father loved coming out of Purdue in 2001.
If maybe then John Elway should honor his father by being interested in quarterbacks such as Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, other short guys. But apparently he is ignoring his dad's opinion on quarterbacks and believing that they have to be tall.
Height's overrated.
No, I think we
all agree.
Drew's
been proving
that
for his entire career.
You two definitely agree with it a little more than I do.
What?
Height being overrated.
Height being... you don't think height's overrated? Yeah, you do.
I was just calling you guys short.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't someone call us short yesterday, too?
I don't think so.
We called ourselves short. I think that's what it was.
Sorry.
Or we stopped short. We spoke in short sentences. We didn't cut the podcast short because we were north of 2 hours, like always.
Yes, classic. We
didn't. All right, so we don't end up being north of 2 hours today. From RD Dollywall. Hey, guys, hope you can answer this question for me. All I know about Darren Williams is that he only played for the Broncos for 2 seasons. I know he's a very good up-and-coming cornerback, but can you shed some light on who I can compare him to, i.e. Champ, Chris Harris, etc.? Thanks.
Well, I don't think it's fair to compare him to Champ Bailey. I mean, Champ Bailey's a Hall of Famer. Chris Harris Jr.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and so he should have his number retired. I think he would have been in the class of Chris Harris Jr. potentially, with the element of being able to handle punt returns as well. At minimum, I think he's a player that would have gotten a second contract from the Broncos. Think sort of like Justin Simmons now, different position, but somebody who gradually got better and better, and if not a Pro Bowler, was a pretty good above average player at his position.
from a personality standpoint, he was almost a hybrid of Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib. All the swagger of Aqib Talib and kind of the love for the spotlight of Aqib Talib, while still being a low-key, extremely nice guy who wasn't going to have any off-the-field issues.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of his play and his personality, really reminds me of Chris. That's a good way to put it.
But Chris didn't have the... He wasn't as, I don't know, charming. He was more charming than Chris.
He was, yeah. And obviously, he came into the league as a second-round pick, not an undrafted guy. So he was on the spotlight right away.
And let's not forget, he was also a baller returner.
Yes.
It was probably at least another 3 years, if you liked Eddie Royal, more likely another 7 years before the Broncos had a returner as good as Darrent Williams, as capable of taking it to the house on any opportunity that he had.
I don't know why I always love returners who are corners. I just love that combination, and it's pretty rare in today's day and age.
Well, they have the speed of a wide receiver, but they're there sometimes because at some point in their past they were adjudged to not have the hands or the route-running ability. But it's like they see it as, okay, here's my chance to do something with the ball. Because at one point in their football lives, almost every NFL cornerback was a wide receiver. In high school, maybe early in college.
Until they couldn't catch. You know, and that's when they
But it's up. Like...
Why did you sing that?
They was kind of mocking it because I was a cornerback. Whenever I told someone I was a cornerback, they're like, oh, right, because you couldn't catch.
But they see the punt return
did
as
you say,
a chance
no, it's
to...
just because I can't take hits?
No, it's because I like to deliver the hits.
Oh, okay, of course.
The punt return for them is a chance to carpe that diem. Seize the day. That they don't that they once had on a regular basis, now they don't. So they want to maximize it. So there's a lot of energy brought to that moment.
Didn't the Broncos throw a key back there a couple times? He looked so uncomfortable.
Yeah, they tried.
I think I remember like he like let it bounce and then like was like unsure. Yeah.
That's what I imagine, just being very wishy-washy.
Yeah, it's classic.
Next one coming in from Flumunda Cheese. Speaking of cheese, he says, fellas, I haven't been able to post in a few months. I just got back from another contract doing cold water and ice rescue in Antarctica.
What?
Yeah, it's insane. I binged as many of your podcasts as I could on the way back. It definitely made the flights go by faster.
Do they not have service there? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I guess not. Or the cold. Wow. Whew, that sounds intense. Mm. There are a few things I want to comment on. One, you were talking about best passes in the Super Bowl. Mace, I think you were close when you gave it to Bradshaw because he was a Steeler, but I have to give it to Big Ben and Santonio Holmes to win the game versus the Cardinals. Talk about a perfect throw in a clutch moment.
Great catch, too.
Incredible pass.
Two, Mace, I never thought I would speak these words, but your Beavis is impeccable. Oh, wow. I'm saying you should do the rest of this, rest of the podcast.
Please no,
with that
please
voice.
No.
I can't. It's very hard on the vocal cords.
It sounds like it.
He says it gave him some interesting looks from all the proper Brits that were filming for BBC on our flight back from the ice. I almost fell out of my chair when I heard it. I can't believe Zach doesn't watch adult cartoons. What do you think of Archer or Bob's Burgers? Fun fact, the voices for both shows are done by the same actors.
I have to admit, I haven't watched either. Sorry.
One really good one is BoJack Horseman. Have you caught any of that?
No.
It's funny.
I've heard it's funny. Three is for Pat. Four, I'm with Mace when it comes to punctuation. You don't need more than one exclamation mark. Ever! LOL, because he put about seven. I have to put some of my fellow DNVR subscribers on Front Street for their punctuation. I commend you, host, for your ability to read some of these posts. Punctuation is very important in the English language. Just remember that a simple comma can change the entire meaning of your sentence. It's the difference between I help my Uncle Jack off a horse. And I helped my uncle jack off a horse.
I remember I think it was CJ Anderson had a tweet when he was a Bronco and Capri Bibbs was playing and he was out and CJ said, "Let's eat Bibbs," but he didn't have a comma, so it was, came off as "Let's." Why do we want to eat Capri Bibbs?
Wow, that was an early days Godspeed.
Oh yes, it was. He says, "I'll leave it there for now." It's so nice to be back in the USA. And the first game I watched was the NBA All-Star Game. What a great fourth quarter with the new rules. Now, off to the Rockies podcast to see if they can bring me up to date with this cheating scandal. I found out about it yesterday and completely lost. I'll leave you with a new track from Head for the Hills. This is dedicated to Garrett Bowles.
And the track is called I Am the Problem.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Well, welcome back to the USA.
Really good return comment.
Yes, it
was.
Yeah,
well, we appreciate you having coming back for Monday Cheese. And also, you know what? If the BBC crew comes by and says, hey, what are you laughing at? Feel free to play a snippet from our podcast.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Also, I want to see what you've been working on.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Bronco born, Bronco bred. My apologies. Guess I had to stop listening early on Saturday. Always appreciate getting put in my place. Much love. By the way, how fun was that NBA All-Star game? How can the NFL replicate that?
They can't.
They can't. And, you know, they've tried with draft, you know, having, you know, the team Jerry Rice and, you know, having the former players draft guys to be on each side, but the nature of football and the nature of basketball, football being a collision sport, means you just can't have a game that is in any way resembling a normal football game because no one wants to risk injury.
Exactly. The truth is, for football to look good, guys have to be risking their bodies on every play.
Do you think it would make it a better game, a better product, more people would care about it if they just did like the other sports and put it in the middle of the season?
No.
Oh, gosh, no. Because even for a game where guys aren't really tackling, I mean, what if you're running a route and you pull a hamstring? Or what if you land wrong? I mean, the general managers, coaches, teammates, I mean, imagine your season being ruined because a guy goes out in the All-Star game and gets hurt.
How is that any different than any of the other All-Star games? They're all right in the middle of the season.
They're just less risk. The players are at less risk because of the sports.
I'm not saying that's what they should do. I think this game is hosed no matter what. But that's just what the other ones do, and they're more interesting.
I think that there should only be one player who plays in the Pro Bowl. Do you know who it is?
Drew Locke.
Joe Flacco. You want to know why?
Because you can shoot him to the sun after?
Because the Pro Bowl should be on the surface of the sun right next to Joe.
The only thing that matters about the Pro Bowl, frankly, is the selections. That you made the Pro Bowl roster, because that is something that inevitably comes up for Rings of Fame, Rings of Honor, Hall of Fame, that sort of thing.
Would you see something being thrown out for the new CBA? It's something like, if you're a first-round pick and you make the Pro Bowl in two or three of your first 4 years, then your fifth-year option goes up to the price of the franchise tag.
That's being talked about.
Yep.
Sheesh.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Just get rid of the whole thing to me, honestly. Vote guys into the Pro Bowl and just do everything but the game and come up with more interesting ways. Have the quarterbacks go to the top of the stadium and try and throw it into a bucket. Like, just make interesting content. That's all you need to do.
Years ago, they had a beach bowl back when the game was in Honolulu.
On the sand?
Yes, and Robert Edwards, running back for the Patriots, had what was nearly a career-ending.
Oh my God! Whose leg
injury?
Sounds terrible.
He never was the same after that. Although he did miraculously return to play, people thought it was so bad there was some thought he might lose his leg.
God, I'm so mad that someone thought that was a good idea.
Oh my gosh! And then it passed through so many different people.
Right. You shouldn't be playing football in the first place, let alone football on an uneven surface.
Oh my gosh. Queen City Bronco says, Zach, you're not alone, my friend. My wife and I love Chuck. Ride on. They have all seasons on Amazon Prime, and we've watched them recently. It's a show you expect to be corny and funny, but also has surprisingly charming moments between the core characters.
It literally sounds like it's Zach Stevens. Corny, funny, and surprisingly charming.
Oh, thank you. Maybe that's why I loved it so much.
Does Chuck have a laugh?
He does have a laugh.
Does he chuckle?
He chuckles, he chuckles. He's what you would imagine a chuck is.
Is it a chuckle like you share with us every day?
I don't think so. He says, I was listening to the podcast. My wife heard you mention Chuck. She yelled, hey, me too. Just want to let you know. Cheers. Love you and your wife, Queen City Bronco.
All right, next one here is from Albino Reno. He says, guys, I'm trying to make my mock bracket. When I was talking with a colleague, and somehow on her board, she had Okuda going to the Broncos at 15. How do you see this being possible? Every punctuation will have multiples for Mace. She had Burrow, Young, Herbert, Thomas, Tua, Kinlaw, Simmons, Lamb, Brown, Wills, Becton, Judy, Love, Chason?
Yes.
And then Okuda. How likely is that scenario, and would you take Okuda or Ruggs? If you take a cornerback at 15, could you possibly trade back into the first round and get Ruggs? What would that take? and Werfs was on the board. How does that factor in? Thanks.
All these punctuation marks, exclamation points, question marks, giving me the willies. Man, I'm having trouble responding. Too many commas. First of all, the only way Okuda is there at 15 is if he has a Laremy Tunsil, Shane Ray moment.
Except that's what I said about Drew Locke last year. So I'm weary of having takes like that this year.
It's different for quarterbacks, though.
I thought it was the other way around. Yeah, yeah. There was no way a quarterback could fall like that. That was my take. I heard myself say it at the Senior Bowl. And I said the only way that Drew Locke could fall like that is if something's wrong. And obviously nothing was wrong.
People were scared off by his senior season.
What would people be scared off about Okuda? Is there anything?
As a player, no.
As a person, again, do you know something? I don't know anything.
I have not heard anything that would be a red flag on Jeff Okuda that would cause him to fall out of the top five.
Yeah, I really don't see him being there at 15.
Yeah. Again, it would be something that comes up that it could, whether it's, I mentioned the Shane Ray, Laremy Tunsil thing, or an incident at the combine. Remember Reuben Foster getting thrown out of the combine?
Oh my God.
Well, then the question is, let's say something does happen and he falls because of a personal thing. Do you want him? Because Shane Ray, Reuben Foster, Bradley Roby also fell because of that. Is that a guy that you want?
But Roby was a perfectly fine pick for when the Broncos got him.
So was Shane Ray, though.
No. He would have been.
Didn't Roby fall a bit because of some off-field concerns?
Remember he had the. Yeah,
he got
the,
caught with weed.
The other thing that happened,
he had the incident where he was, I think it was a DUI because he fell asleep in a parked car with the engine running.
Was he eating weed, too?
Not at that incident, no.
Yeah, I mean, if he's there and for some reason just the world turned and he found that everyone just forgot about him or something, then yes.
I mean, I think back to all the way to Warren Sapp when he fell through the draft because of a marijuana test reportedly at the combine. And to bring Philadelphia up in this podcast is one of the most famous draft misses they ever had because they picked Mike Mamula, who was a combine workout warrior with Warren Sapp on the board. Mamula was a perfectly serviceable player. Warren Sapp became a Hall of Famer.
And he later said, I'm only in the NFL to get Mamula.
Oh, my gosh.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Anyway, you got something else?
I forgot what I was going to say. Something about Warren Sapp. Oh,
Mamula.
I have a take on guys who get busted for weed. In a vacuum drink. It doesn't really matter. But on the grand scale of things, that really bothers me. That you have this incredible opportunity in front of you, and you're not smart enough to, in the parlance, as Mace would say, of Stephen A. Smith, stay off the weed.
Well, and how about for Shane Ray, too? The week of the draft.
Can you just not be an idiot for a few days?
And that's why guys drop, because it's considered to be incredibly poor judgment, because teams think of exactly what you're saying, that you can't stay away from this right now, here.
That's the
most important time of your professional life to this point.
I could honestly care less about a guy smoking weed or not. Honestly, probably over 50% of the players in the NFL are smoking during the season. But just like your life dreams are within reach.
Millions of dollars.
And you would do something to put that in jeopardy cost yourself. It's just you're an idiot.
It's also an indication that maybe for some guys it's a more serious problem than just doing it recreationally. Maybe you actually have an addiction if you can't stay away from it.
Yeah.
And that's why we know that a lot of guys do enjoy marijuana, do use it for pain relief benefits as well. But with the NFL's drug testing structure, they can take off for a few months. And as long as they can, basically from the end of the season through the end of the off season, if they stay away from it, they won't get caught because if they haven't had a positive test, they're not getting tested in season.
Yep.
And so if you can't stay away from it for set times of the year, that's a sign of a problem. So,
from Dan Burke, Mace, who's your favorite player other than Shaq on the current Bucks roster?
Ooh,
Jameis?
Vita Vea, and Dan Burke mentions him here. I love him.
Okay.
Absolutely love what he can do out there. So
he goes on to say, I'm a Vita Vea stan, mm-hmm. and I like Levante David, but I think I might have to go with Jamel Dean. He was one of my draft boos last year, and I'm unsurprised he's been balling.
And also, yeah, I think you have to mention Mike Evans, too.
Yeah.
Mike Evans is probably the most popular guy.
My guy's Chris Godwin. Big Godwin guy.
Yeah, and he's who the Broncos should have taken in the third round of 2017.
Instead, they got a guy who eats weed.
Yeah, back to weed.
two, something I like about Elway's tenure as a GM is trading low-value picks for high-upside players. Now, none of them have actually worked, but I like the idea in principle. Trading for Sue Craven seemed like a good idea at the time. Honestly, I'd like to see more of trading for players that have fallen out of favor on their current teams. Give me Ronald Jones for a sixth rounder.
I'm right there with you, Dan Burke, in terms of I like that philosophy, but at some point, don't you have to open your eyes and
nice.
Realize that it just hasn't worked? And what point do you stop? I don't like Ronald Jones for a sixth.
We loved Ronald Jones in the draft,
we
though.
We did. I did. I'm trying to learn from my mistakes, Ryan.
Six-round pick, sign me up.
Yeah, I may do it, too.
Anytime the Broncos lose late-round draft picks, it's a win for me.
It really is.
Because you think of it in terms of less work, but if it keeps you from getting a punter that you need, then it's a problem. I want a late-round pick on a punter.
Just get Mason
give
punter.
Give me Braden Mann.
Happy, I can't please. Wait. For the Broncos to draft a punter, me and Zach to say, Mace, you take this one.
What if it's not Mace's guy, though, and he's just furious and won't do it?
Oh, yeah. He's like, how could you take, I don't know, someone over Braden Mann?
Cody Burke says, fellas, looking at a scheme fit between Darius Slay and Chris Harris Jr. Slay fits a mood that I believe would help him excel at a high level in Fangio's scheme. Harris wants to play in the slot. What do you see as more likely? Chris Harris Jr. leaves or Denver trades for Slay?
I feel like he just made a t-shirt that you would see at Target. Slay is a mood.
Slay is a mood. Wow. And is it in the guys or girls section?
Girls.
Girls.
Yeah.
Okay.
I imagine it being like a black shirt with like a silver, you know that like silvery pink.
That's metallic?
Yes. Yeah. It says it in that.
You know what? If the Broncos do trade for Darius Slay, doesn't this company have to get in on a t-shirt with a sleigh?
Well, I'm sure.
Outline of a sleigh.
Is that when we join the underwear business and put sleigh as a mood on the backside?
Yes.
I think we just go with the sleigh ride.
Oh, yeah.
Taking the sleigh ride.
That's good.
Like in a Santa cart. What are those called? Oh, a sleigh.
Yeah. Just,
A Santa cart.
And who are the reindeer pulling him? Are they like are the reindeer other players on the defense? Like you've got, say, Kareem Jackson is one of the reindeers, and Justin Simmons, and
seems
Bradley Chubb.
It does. Should
it's
it
obviously
be all the wide receivers he shuts down.
It's Peyton Manning because he's the footnote.
Now Peyton Manning, he'd be Rudolph. You'd give him the red nose and have him leading the way.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though he's retired now,
because the forehead would be like so bright, or.
Oh. It just says, like,
Peyton, with your forehead so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
It just says, like, sleigh all day.
Oh, yeah.
In big letters.
Yeah. Oh, man. Let's make it happen.
All right.
And all you need just is, like, a silhouette of a sleigh. I mean, they do that in Christmas ornaments all the time.
True.
Simple.
From Squidney 5280. She says, guys, don't feel like you have to read this unless you really want to. Well, we want to. At Big Tony, a good place to look would be a local college like the JUCO you mentioned, Sports Information and Athletics Communications Department. I work at a D3 school in Virginia, and these smaller schools have a one-man or one-woman shop that does it all. Graphics, social media, photography, all forms of journalism, website management, game day operations, in-game statistics, streaming events, media production. Literally everything you can think of in regards to promoting the student-athletes and the athletic department. I guarantee if you reach out to these smaller schools willing to volunteer or intern for them, they will have you. You can gain valuable experience in a wide range of skills and help you identify what part of the sports profession you are passionate about. As the guy said on Monday, the degree type slash major isn't the most important thing. I went to school for elementary education, but the passion for sports and desire to put the work in is. If you would like to know more about SID Life, you can reach out on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is the same as my username.
Man, Squidney, thanks for reaching out. This is what this community is all about. We someone with a question, we do the best to answer it, and then we get someone else that comes in with more information. So I absolutely love that. Thanks for helping Big Tony out.
I know at least one executive in this market who's very successful in the kind of the PR line of work, who started off working with a community college basketball program.
Wow.
And that was his entree into the business. So this is absolutely correct. And the more you can do, the better. One of the reasons I loved when I interned for an arena football team in Tampa when I was in college is I got to do so many different things, and I had to do and had to handle so much of the PR aspects. I mean, it was I learned basically on the job how to design a media guide on Quark. That was a software I used at the time, and I basically learned that from scratch. And without that, I wouldn't have launched my career the way I did. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, when you work for these small type of operations, first of all, you're going to have a lot of opportunity to have ideas that get used, you know, rather than going to work for a big place where you're like, hey, what about this? And they're like, ah, that sounds like a lot of work, you know. Before we go too much further, shout out to Green Mountain Dental. It's in Lakewood. They're the best damn family-owned dentist in the metro area, and they're extremely dedicated Colorado sports fans, just like all of us here at DNVR. Make sure you check them out, and if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you're going to get a free Sonicare toothbrush. They're a longtime DNVR partner, so make sure if you have some dental work that you need to get done in this area, you go to them because they always come to us.
VR, though, chimes in, says, our friend from Twitter, Barry Mick, we'll leave it at that, says,
Barry Max,
watched a ton of John Elway tape and made a 13-minute video on YouTube called The Ultimate John Elway Highlight Reel. Would definitely recommend for any Broncos fan that was too young to watch him like myself.
Assume it's a lot of John scrambling around and throwing an absolute laser 50 yards down the field.
Across his body, doing things that coaches say, what are you doing? And then it's a completion.
Yep. Overcoming an offense that was about 10 to 15 years behind it, the times, until Jim Fossil showed up in 1993 and got him to the modern era. Count Locula to the gentle gents at DNVR. Happy Tuesday on this National Crab Stuffed Flounder Day. I seriously couldn't make this up if I tried. Mace, I thought I was the only one who liked the final episode of Seinfeld. It's nice to not be alone in this. Appreciate that. We have to band together. We have to stick together on this. Zach, I grew up in southern Arizona and went like 4 straight years without wearing pants. So I kicked you on this. It did get cold where I lived, but I was a willful little count.
Were you wearing shorts or just nothing?
I assume shorts.
Okay.
Look, if I lived in Florida, I would wear shorts literally 345 days a year.
Oh, I would too.
That's why I one day dream of living in Arizona, at least for the winters.
Yeah. I mean, I was when I was down there for the Shrine Game in January, I wore shorts all week. Didn't even pack any pants. Just shorts.
That sounds
amazing. That was awesome. Okay, guys, I know why I didn't like Josh Rosen, because of his smarmy antics at the draft and because he kind of reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. But what is the John thing that you gents breezed over in regards to him? My curiosity has been tickled about this since you mentioned it. Love the count. Well,
his politics.
Yes. Josh Rosen had some anti-Trump social media postings while he was at UCLA. We know that John Elway is a longtime Republican and was at Trump's inauguration back in January of 2017.
Yep.
And we'll leave it there. Next one is from R.D. Dollywall. Zach, I got you with Chuck. I watched it from its premiere until it got canceled.
Hey.
The actor who played Chuck Bartowski also played Shazam, which I also enjoyed with my kids. Wait, he was the kid in Shazam?
Like also played Shazam.
Shazam.
Like Shazam, the movie with Shaq. The Disney
That's
movie.
That's Kazam.
Oh. Dang it.
What, so we don't know this movie, Shazam.
No, Shazam is a superhero.
Shazam is an app that tells you what song is playing.
I am so confused.
Another name for Shazam is Captain Marvel, right?
What?
Yeah.
I'm so lost. All I know is the main actor.
Yeah, I'm looking at like Captain Marvel, also known as Shazam. That's the opening of the Wikipedia page on Captain Marvel.
And that was played by Chuck Bartowski?
Or the guy who played Chuck Bartowski.
All right.
There must have been a series.
Chuck Bartowski, Zachary Levi. So that's the actor's name. So fellow Zach.
All right.
Love that.
Interesting.
From TK Freeze, what's up, DNVR? So since it's the offseason, a quick story for you guys. The past weekend, that's fine. This past weekend, me, my girlfriend, and a buddy of mine were on a road trip. After a couple hours of music, I decided to switch on the always great DNVR Broncos podcast. We're about 10 minutes in, and I hear my friends yell from the back seat, "Oh no, that laugh is terrible," talking of Zach's laugh. Oh, my girlfriend turns around furiously and yells back, "Hey, that's Zach's laugh, and it's amazing. Don't you dare badmouth it."
Oh, thank you.
I laughed hysterically. To say the least, we shut him down quickly. My girlfriend wanted me to let you know, Zach, she's got your back, and she loves the laugh.
Oh, I love your girlfriend.
Careful now.
Whoa, easy.
Okay, quick free agent question for you guys. I know you would have to give a pick for Slay, but who would you prefer on the Broncos roster? Byron Jones or Darius Slay? Personally, I think Slay is the better corner and would have the better immediate impact. But with Jones' age and the Fangio system being quote-unquote corner-friendly, the chance B. Jones developing even more into an absolute beast is pretty dang good. Anyway, what do you guys think?
I think you broke it down pretty perfectly. Right now, I think Slay is the better cornerback. For long-term, though, probably Byron Jones, especially because you hold on to a draft pick or two.
If you're talking about having to guarantee $40 to $50 million, I'm going with Byron Jones just because I think a year from now he's going to be better than Darius Slay.
If it's a one-for-one type of thing, you would go Jones, in my opinion.
Right. Iceman says, "Hey, friends, RK, can we put out an ABP for Juwan Winfrey?"
ABP. Do you know it, Mace? Don't say it if you do.
All Points Bulletin. So it's APB.
Does that mean like a search party type
of
thing?
Wait, didn't he say don't say it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Mace.
He goes on and says, wait, so what is it?
All Points Bulletin.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha. So, like, where is he?
I know you said don't say it, but I felt like I had to say it. I went rogue.
What is going on? Kind of like Juwan Winfrey. What is going on with the Broncos' fifth-round pick in 2019? When Miss Iceman and I spoke with Allie during the draft watch party last year, she raved about Juwan, and, of course, I totally agreed. Mace, I would love my boy TRT back QBing in Broncos country. Go Broncos, TRT, Drew, and Winfrey. I got this. TRT.
Timothy something Tebow?
Yes.
Oh,
because I suggested
Rodham Tebow?
Yeah, because I suggested that
if
the XFL expands to Denver,
right,
that Tim Tebow should be the quarterback. If they look, it's all about marketing, right? Do you want to sell tickets?
Timothy Richard Tebow?
I think it's Ricardo.
Oh.
No.
I think it's Richard.
I'm guessing. Richard, too. What's
It is Richard, correct.
Dick Tebow. Okay, on Juwan Winfrey, he was really skyrocketing in training camp, and then he got hurt, and that's been the MO of his entire life as
a
football player.
Are you counting on him this year?
No.
Okay. It's a joy if he shows up. Not shows up, but like...
Yeah, I mean, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to have a chance to be the fourth wide receiver.
You want him to push Tim Patrick and Deshaun Hamilton. The
and
way the receiver compliments.
He very clearly has the ability to do so. It's just, can he stay healthy? And the answer has always been no for him.
And can he be involved on special teams? I think that's what's going to get him a jersey and get him on the roster is what he can do in that phase. Because if the Broncos do invest as heavily in the receiver position in the draft as we expect them to, then I don't know how many reps there are going to be there on offense if he's going to be on the roster. It's got to be on special teams.
From Montana Bronco, "Hey guys, just wanted to let you know how much I enjoy and appreciate your podcast. I discovered this podcast last fall and became a subscriber in December. The t-shirts alone are worth the price. Mace, I have to say you're amazing. I would hate to get in a trivia contest against you. Also, I'm jealous you said you've been to over 500 NFL games. I'm 60 and have only been to a handful. Being born in Southern Colorado and living there until I was 32, I'm a lifelong Bronco and all Colorado sports fan. So DNVR is perfect for me. Living in Montana now, I didn't always get the Broncos' latest, but now I do. So keep up the good work. I have to say I agree with your opinions about
75.
Way too hard. % of the time. You guys are my entertainment at work daily. Sorry for such a long comment, but I just need to ask one question. Since I live in Montana and we get a lot of snow, do you know where I could get rubber for my snow pal blade? The Denver Rubber Company. And possibly, could you recommend a good beer or cup of coffee? Yes, Breckenridge Beer and Stravacraft Coffee.
Exactly.
That's all for now. And once again, thank you all for your hard work. Steve Atwater is the man.
Yes, well, he is the man. And thanks for the kind words.
Love hearing from you, Montana Bronco.
And yeah, it's I'm pretty lucky to have been to that many NFL games. It's just a big part of it was being in an NFL market where tickets were readily available like Tampa was when I was growing up.
I think I'll probably get No, not enough games in the season.
For 100?
I was going to say, I'll probably get to 500 college football games at some point in my life.
Oh, yes,
but
you will.
That's going to be a long time.
That's like 50 years.
Yeah, probably. No, more than that.
When I was a kid, I remember reading a story in Sports Illustrated about these people who'd been fans of their college team and didn't miss a game and had been going to, this wasn't like in the 80s, that had been going to games since like 1920, and they were all in their 80s and 90s and they were still going to games. That's where I see you being, RK, when you're like 85 years old, that you're still sitting up in the stands in Folsom and you're this super fan who's been going to games on a regular basis for like 80 years.
I'm at about 120 or so straight right now. But if you realize that took me about 20 years to get to that number, so I've got to multiply that by 5, which would get me to 100.
So you started when you were about 7?
I was 9.
What happens if the Buffs are home on the weekend, the Broncos are in London, as they're expected to be this year?
Oh, boy.
Actually, I think I might have already looked that up. I think I'm safe in that regard.
Okay.
Oh, man. Love to hear that.
But I would have made it work.
Yes, you would have. Next one coming in from Mark IT Snatch. Hey, guys, here's a cross-sport question to pontificate. What will happen more, holding calls against the AFC West offensive lines or Houston Astro players beaned in the 2020 regular season? Keep in mind, it's 162 games of baseball with a commissioner threatening to suspend anyone that tries to retaliate on the field. Has he said that? Has the commissioner said that?
Yes, Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred could not handle this situation any worse. He's making Roger Goodell look good right now.
Check this out. Buffs on October 3rd, bye week.
Oh!
Buffs on October 9th at Arizona.
Oh,
so
man.
If it's either of those 2 weeks, we good.
There you go. Love to hear that. He says the Astros face 20 teams, 520 players out of 754 that want blood. The Dodgers are not one of those teams, but they do play the Nationals. It's 52 NFL games. In 2019, the division was penalized 93 times, 26 times for Denver, 23 for the Chargers and Chiefs, and 21 times for the Raiders. In 2019, the MLB league average for HBP was 66 per team. Houston was hot, exactly 60. Well, was hit exactly 66 times. The Rockies were hit the fewest at 43, and the Mets had the most at 93. So which will happen more often?
I'm going to say hit batters because I think Garrett Bowles will cut his holding penalties this year.
Because he'll be cut or?
Just I think he'll improve, and that will help the holding total for the AFC West.
Just so this is clear, every Houston Astro that gets hit, it is the fault of Rob Manfred. 100%. If he would have just punished them, then these players wouldn't have to take things into their own hands and punish them themselves. It's just like if the I forget who the player was, but he took a dirty hit on an av, and then Kadri had to go beat his ass.
The problem is hit batters happen naturally. Just okay, the pitcher misses a spot, it gets away from him. Or is the assumption going to be that's intentional, and Manfred's going to suspend a player for just an accidental typical hit batsman in a game?
Who was the player? I think it happened this morning with the Braves, right?
Nick Markakis.
Did you see this, Ryan?
Mm-mm.
Said that the Astros players deserve a good beating.
Good.
I mean, that's intense.
They cheated and won the championship. Like, that's the worst thing.
I really wish the players weren't given protections.
And we talk about the Patriots and stuff, and what they've done is dirty. This is like 100 times as bad. This is literally if the Patriots tapped into the other team's play call system and knew exactly what they were calling, the play they were calling on every play.
Well, there are some in the NFL who suspect that the communication outages that happen in Foxborough, that there's some malfeasance to it.
Even then, they're cutting off your communication and they're not intercepting it.
Right.
But they're hurting your ability to communicate.
Right. But again, this is if they knew the play call before the play every time.
That's brutal.
You know where this is going? It's going to where you have radio receive, like a little headphone in that's in the ear of the pitcher and the catcher. And even like a mic on the pitcher. And a communication kind of between them.
literally in
where like the picture kind of covers his mouth and says fastball.
An AirPod. Yeah. You just put your glove up over your mouth.
Mm-hmm. I'm down. I mean, again, anything to stop the Astros from continuing to cheat.
Oh, man, they're the worst. Next one from Mountain Drew. Zach, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers in their prime? I tend to agree with you that Aaron has always been a little overhyped. And Mace, the idea and the thought of Tim Tebow and the Denver Gold will make an XFL fan out of all of us. Just imagine the Tebowing in the end zone making a comeback.
There's a reason why I put the @XFL2020 handle on that tweet. I wanted somebody in their office to see what I was getting at.
I mean,
and as you say, Zach, open your eyes to the possibilities that if you had a Denver team and Tim Tebow on it, you're probably getting 35,000 people, and you're probably having to play at Empower Field.
I was going to say, where would they play? Because I can guarantee they would sell out Dick's Sporting Goods Park every game.
Yes.
I can almost guarantee they would be able to sell out Folsom Field.
How many
is that?
That's
50,000.
My guess was that there would be 50,000 people at a Tebow game.
Yeah. And so wherever they play, I mean, this is a cash cow. If you have to pay him $10 million a year, you do it.
What if you, well, after this weekend, maybe this isn't the best idea, but you Air Force seats, what, Falcon Stadium, 43,000?
Hard pass.
But after
hard
this weekend,
pass, hard pass, hard
no, I get that you wouldn't do that. And Fort Collins is probably a little bit far.
Fort Collins would be fine, too.
Yeah. What if you just alternated between Folsom and Canvas?
Or you just pass it around, so everyone gets a little slice of the pie.
And it truly is the, but we're going Denver Gold. Can we do Colorado Gold or
no?
So the Denver Gold playing in Boulder and Fort Collins.
And they tried this. And they tried this pass it around thing back in the ABA in the 70s. The Virginia Squires actually played home games in Roanoke, Richmond, Hampton, and I believe they played in Norfolk as well.
The Colorado Gold still has a good ring to it.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool. That would be innovative.
I mean, you could even you could go to the Springs. You could go all over the place.
Yeah,
and it's just the Tebow tour.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
They would sell out everyone.
They would.
I honestly think if there was only one game in Denver, one home game in Denver, they'd sell that one out too.
I don't know. If they'd sell out. Like, are we talking about playing it at Empower Field?
Yes.
I don't think they would sell it out for 76,000 plus people. I think they'd get 50.
I honestly think they'd sell it out.
They would for sure sell out Colorado Springs.
It's Tim Tebow.
But think of the jersey sales, too.
His return to Mile High.
People would be traveling to Denver to go to the game.
Or they could just do it at Coors.
That would be cool.
There's 50.
That would be cool.
We'd cover it. That's the other thing. Like, I know we've kind of scoffed at covering the XFL. If Tim Tebow is playing for the Denver Gold or Denver whatever in the XFL, yeah, we're all covering those games.
Yeah.
Period.
Shirts. I mean,
oh man.
Like I said, this is whatever you have to pay him. I felt the same way about Colin Kaepernick. What did he demand? $20 million. I think he asked for that. They should have taken that deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way this is going to work is if you have stars. They would have sold $20 million worth of Colin Kaepernick DC Defenders jerseys.
To be able to, I mean, Tim Tebow would be leading SportsCenter.
Unbelievable.
For the XFL.
Yeah, great idea, Mace. Honestly, you should have gotten paid for it.
I just hope that if this happens, they remember me and I'm on the radio broadcasting.
Fair enough.
I'll give an idea. No, I mean, you guys, I respect doing it, but maybe this is the chance for the first and 10 at 10 Orange and Blue 760 reunion. We get Steve Atwater in the booth.
Well, now I feel disrespected. from Mark IT Snatch. Zach, you're not alone. Chuck was great. How did Chuck come back up?
We discussed Chuck yesterday.
I'm ready to chuck this out the window.
Oh, boo.
I even signed a position to get it reinstated after it was canceled. Oh. Silly, quirky, funny, and charming. It was fantastic. Being a nerdy, socially awkward, dweeby kid growing up, it was a show that I could relate to. Multiple characters throughout, even Lester.
Oh, man. Love it, Mark. I'll sign that petition.
From Joe Turner 96, what do you guys think about Donovan Peoples-Jones from Michigan as a potential day two pick for the Broncos? I haven't seen him talked about much in draft discussions, which is probably due to his average production, but I can't help but feel like that's due to having Shea Patterson throwing him the football. He's got the speed we need, and I feel like it could be a steal on day two. Thoughts?
Average production is why I think you could potentially get him on day three.
Average production, elite name. gotta be factored into all draft discussions.
Yes. DPJ. Yep. That's, I mean, when you have the initials, you're gold, right?
Yep.
Right. You got DPJ and MPJ in the same city.
Oh, man. That could be good.
Also, just Donovan Peoples-Jones. That is just such a sweet name.
Yeah, it really is.
But he's not the primary guy. Like, I would say this. He's your second, if you by chance draft three receivers, he can be a bigger slot receiver, but he's not the first receiver you're taking. If that's the case, then you're disappointed.
Yeah.
Because DPJ is not the vertical speed guy that you need.
But the Peoples are jonesing for this.
Man, you would love it. I can tell you that.
I can't go anywhere from that. Well done.
Next one coming in from Thick Fangio. Finally got caught up on last week's pods. I have so much to comment on, but I forgot most of it. So here's the Spark Notes. The XFL is worth watching, so you can get a chuckle whenever you hear them say, Charles Knopf.
Because he'll always be Chad Knopf to me. Yeah. You can't run from your past, Chad.
He's perpetually Chad Knopf.
Oh, yes. He's always Chad Knopf. Exclamation marks are acceptable depending on the situation. I agree that they are really not needed in tweets, and multiple are kind of useless. But for example, if a friend invited you to something they're excited about, yeah, exclamation mark, sounds great, exclamation mark, can be very encouraging, while yeah, sounds great, can come off across as disinterested, even if you meant it with the same enthusiasm. But anyway, not trying to punctuation shame anyone. If you use punctuation at all, you're doing better than half the population.
This is a good point, and I can't argue that.
I am huge on text etiquette.
Oh.
And he just outlined a very important part of text etiquette. Exclamation points are important in text etiquette, so you can properly convey excitement over something.
What do you think of tapbacks?
Oh, the little
thumbs up or the ha-ha or any.
It's barely acceptable.
I think if that's all you do is tap back someone, I think it's like a slap in the face.
No, but
it's not.
It's an acknowledgement of, I saw this, I don't have anything to add.
And sometimes, look, you get a text, and I'll just speak from my own experience. I'm out with my daughter somewhere, and you know, or maybe she's got a friend along, and I'm trying to watch kids. I have time for a tap back and nothing else. I want to acknowledge that I received the text and say I'm cool with it, but I don't have time for a discussion right now.
Honestly, though, like saying okay, cool is the same amount of effort as just giving the thumbs up.
Right, and I guess that's
no, because you just kind of matly lay on it, scroll over, boom. I think okay, cool takes more effort. It's more taps.
Here is my biggest one, and I've said it before. I'll say it a million times. If you just say K, I hate you.
Yeah, it's true.
You can't even give me the courtesy of adding an O. If you just say K, I assume that you hate me and everything that I've said is invalid.
And that requires less effort than the tap back, I'll say that.
It does. Exactly.
Because it's one tap. That's
I would rather a thumbs up than a K.
Yeah.
A thumbs up is an affirmation. Because a thumbs up is positive.
I think
please stop slamming the table.
What? Is it?
Yeah, all of our mics pick it up.
I think tap backs are great in group chats, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zach likes to go through a group chat 17 hours after the conversation and start tapping back.
Just so you guys know, I'm there. I'm listening. Next one coming in from Thick Fangio. Got caught up on last week's. It was the end of that one. He says, give me Gotsis and Jano in the cage match. This was, you get two people. Right?
Jano wins.
Yep. No, you, who was it?
I think.
There was a cage match.
Connor McGovern.
2-on-2. And it was, he had Dalton Risner and Derek Wolfe. And you had to pick two other people on the Broncos to go up against him.
Wow. Good luck. Whatever team has Derek Wolfe is winning. Jano is a good option. He has a low center of gravity. Yep. A little harder to take down.
He's country strong, too.
Connor McGovern has to be in there, too, right?
He's strong, he's how nimble is he, though?
Country strength. Oh, man. Is there anyone?
I feel like Gotsis has a little bit of mobility to him.
If he was still on the team, I would have picked Aqib Talib on my team.
Oh, gosh.
He wouldn't follow any rules. That's part of the allure there.
There's no rules in a cage match.
I don't think so, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't hit the person in the family jewels if they're in the cage match, no, right? Well,
Akeem's not doing that. What about Philip Lindsay as a dark horse here?
Too small.
How are you going to catch him, though? He's going to run circles around you and then...
Just tire you out?
Just get in some jabs here and there in the face.
Well, if that's the case, we're looking for speed. I mean, you can go with any number of guys. You can,
but you need feist. Core.
Yeah, he'd be feisty. That's for sure.
How about Kareem Jackson? I mean, he's got some speed, but he can wallop people. I think about that. Anyway,
Dalton Risner, I wouldn't. Oh, he wouldn't be high on my list.
No, really.
Yeah, he's too nice.
When he's on the field, though.
But I want people who are angry.
Just all the time.
Yeah.
Angry humans.
Yeah, like a lot, just a lot to get off their chest.
Jano kind of is like that.
Angry like or nice?
Mostly angry. He can be nice, but...
Yeah. Again, whoever has Wolf wins.
Yeah. He says, I live 4 hours from Pittsburgh and 6 hours from Charlotte, so I'm planning on going to both games this year. Would 100% be down for a DNVR meetup at both either?
Well, I would say Charlotte, we find there are a couple of good barbecue restaurants there. We can focus on that. Pittsburgh, I'm fine with just finding a Permane Brothers location and having the sandwich that has the fries and the coleslaw and everything in it.
Not a big fan of the Permane Bros. Sandwich.
Why?
I don't know. It's a little too salty. There's not enough sauce involved. It was kind of dry. Then
you rely on the coleslaw for the flavor because there's vinegar in the
coleslaw. The coleslaw is kind of dry.
Not when I've had it. But,
oh,
okay.
I love coleslaw. Put coleslaw on any sandwich.
Well, we've got all of Monday to do whatever we want in Indianapolis. So.
And there is a Permane Brothers in downtown Indy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll drag Ryan there, I guess.
We'll see.
I'll try it a second time.
Anyway, Larry Dang Jr. Hey, fellas. So maybe Diggs.
LDJ.
Thank you. Hey, fellas, maybe Diggs isn't an ideal reason to trade down. If one of those top three guys receivers are there, referring to Judy, Lamb, and Ruggs, we should take him. I'm with you, but let's be honest. I know some people think, hey, the more picks, the more chances to hit, but it seems like we aren't good at that. We win the eighth round, undrafted free agents, no matter what, and we get those premium picks right. Think about it. All the picks we had last year really resulted in three. Drew Lock, Dalton Risner, Noah Fant. You felt awesome about one to look really promising. Draymond, love Draymond Jones. And then depth after that. I want to mortgage those Steeler and San Francisco picks to trade back into the second round and get Tyler Biadasz and maybe a Jake Hansen, and then use a fifth and a fourth and a sixth and a seventh to trade back into the third. By day three, we should be picking KJ Hill and a punter and going home. I mean, who cares how many picks we get if the ones that matter the most we hit on? Other than the Raiders last year, who got more production from their rookies than the Broncos? And in 2018, we had a phenomenal rookie class. One last question for you guys. Oregon had the number one offensive line in college this most recent season. Is it bad that I want to just go for broke and draft every piece of that O-line I can get a value on?
Yes.
Or is it just Jake Hansen and that's it worth taking from that offensive line? How do you feel about Shane Lemieux, Calvin Throckmorton?
I like Throckmorton.
Isn't that a killer name too?
Oh, yeah.
Calvin Throckmorton?
Yeah. It sounds like he's going to throck you, which...
We will.
It's close to throttle. That's what I think of, that Throckmorton is going to throttle somebody.
I think I'm taking Derek Wolf and Throckmorton in the cage.
It's a good pick.
I actually value-wise like Throckmorton most of all from Oregon's line.
Yeah. No relation to Craig Morton. From Sir James Radio, can anything be read into the likes of Zach Azani pounding the table for a wide receiver that went deactivated on game days for the majority of the season as it pertains to Vic Fangio's decision to not take assistant coaches?
Not necessarily. No. I think for the combine, Juwan Winfrey wasn't even there at the combine for one thing last year.
I can't remember. It was definitely a pro day thing for those two.
Mm-hmm. And the Broncos are always well represented at pro day, at CU in particular, because it's in their backyard. And so typically you see position coaches of relevant positions. You see John Elway, Matt Russell is always at CU Pro Day. The Broncos always come out in force for CU Pro Day, even if the Buffs don't have a first or second round prospect in the mix.
Exactly. World of Suck rounding us out says, love the discussion on how many picks the Broncos should keep. just to pitch in, the Broncos are projected to have 3 seventh-rounders, New England's seventh, and 2 compensatory picks. According to the Jimmy Johnson valuation chart, each of those picks are only worth 1 point draft each. It's been mentioned that we could package some seventh-rounders together to move up into the sixth, but the chart says that a far exchange would be to give Carolina all 3 of those 7th picks just to move up near the top of the 7th round. Our 3 7th rounders are worth nothing more than a better 7th rounder. My point is that while we do have 12 draft picks, 3 of them just function as guaranteed UDFA signings. I think the best way to look at our capital isn't as 12 picks, but as 9 real picks with the added bonus that we will have first dibs on UDFA class. All of that said, I'm cautiously optimistic that over the cap is underselling our compensatory pick compensation. While the most important factor in the NFL's algorithm is contract size, it also accounts for playing time and player awards. On one side of the equation, we lost Shaq Barrett, who made the Pro Bowl and was second team All-Pro. On the signing side of it, Callahan played 0 snaps and James played 63. It won't make a big difference, but maybe one of those sevenths becomes a 6th or a 5th. I'm not counting on my observation to be more reliable than over the cap's projections, but who knows?
I know that they factor in Barrett's season into their calculus. So I hope you're right, World of Suck. I hope that they're a bit off. They're usually not. They usually get this pretty close to right. And I do think you make a good point about those last couple of picks, especially that you use that as undrafted free agents. You say, okay, we want these guys. Let's make sure that nobody else is in on them. Let's make sure we take care of this.
Ryan's shaking his head at
that. We'll just cover them like undrafted free agents, too. We'll just add them to a list.
Unless they're from CU?
Yes, then they get a feature.
What?
Or unless they're a quarterback who had some off-field issues?
Chattis Kellis.
Oh, yes, of course. What did they trade up to get Juwan Winfrey last year?
A 6th and a 7th, right? For a 5th?
I think so.
Maybe just do that. Trade your 3 sevenths and your 6th for a 5th. Or sure, to move up higher in the 6th.
Yeah.
Get the first punter off the board.
Sure. Whatever you got to do. Sell those late picks.
You trade 4 picks to draft a punter. Just that headline would seem crazy. But it would make sense.
Do you see the smile on my face right now, guys? Unfortunately, listening, you can't see it. I'm beaming at that notion.
Yes, I'm. If it means less late round picks, you can trade all of them.
I'm all for it too.
And I'm all for ending this podcast right now. Goodbye. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you guys for tuning in today. I really appreciate you. Thanks to Bojo's, who hosted us on Friday for an amazing pizza tasting. It's where I coined the term honey spoons for the leftover crust, and I'm sticking with that forever. Where else can you get a honey spoon with your pizza? At least 8 of them, or 6. How many slices are in a pie?
A lot. Yeah, big.
Depends, good. I guess.
12? 12 pieces in a pie?
I don't know.
I'm going one. I tell them not to cut it because I'm just going to eat
one,
it.
Two,
what?
Three. Yeah. I say 8 I slices, say 4 cuts. Well, one depends. Down the middle, one talking, down the other middle, one this way, yeah, one
we're
that
talking
way.
Large, medium, small. I mean, what's the
Does
deal?
Does it matter?
Kind of regardless. It just changes the size of the slices, right?
Well, the size of the slices depends on the size of the pizza.
But this, you do 4 cuts.
I just think if it's a large pizza and you're cutting it 4 times, that's 8 pieces. I mean, sometimes that can be too big. I don't like the huge piece. I like a manageable size.
When I was in Philly, I saw a guy walking down the street with a pizza box the size of my wingspan. I'm not kidding you. I was like, is this a bit? Like, I thought it was, like, going to be a joke. There was, like, someone hiding in there or something. It was at least 5 feet wide, the box.
Wow. That sounds – did it look like he was struggling?
I mean, it just – That's awkward. He was, like – he had it, like, pressed up against his chest to be able to hold it.
That sounds so good.
I know. The bigger the slice, the better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I
like it manageable. I can go back for another slice.
You're the type who thinks like you'd rather eat 4 small slices. It feels like you ate more food than 2 big slices.
Perhaps on some level, yes.
I would rather do the opposite. I would want to eat 4 slices to say that I, you know, crushed 4 slices.
And also, if you buy like multiple, let's say you get like 2 or 3 pizzas, and sometimes we'll make pizza at home and we'll make like three different kinds of pizza. We'll make a taco pizza, a pepperoni pizza, and a Hawaiian pizza, and you'll have smaller slices, and you can have a bit of everything. Variety is the spice of life.
So speaking of a bit of everything, while we were there, I had my first chance to try the honey cheese bread. Honestly, whatever you think it is, it's 10 times better. I thought that the honey was going to be in the bread, like part of the bread. No, they take bread, which might already have some honey in it. Then they cover it in honey, and then they melt cheddar cheese over that.
Gosh.
It might not sound to you like this is amazing. It honestly blew all of our minds.
No, it actually sounds
That
amazing.
Sounds colossally
so
good.
So when you go there, when you go to Bojo's, you can ask for the honey cheese bread. If you just say the name DNVR, you're going to get that for free. It is so, so worth it. Make sure you check it out. We love you, Bojo's Pizza, and your honey spoons and honey cheese bread. But for now, that's going to wrap it up for today on the DNVR Broncos podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's getting-